In this episode of the Verbal Processor interview series, we will be finishing up the interview with Rod Trent from MyITForum.com. This interview took place on the last night of MMS 2009 in Las Vegas, Nevada.
We come together and say, hey, somebody else is using this. Hey, look, there's a solution, you know?
Right. I mean, which continues to this day.
Yeah.
You know, it really, really does.
Yeah.
Which actually leads me to a different question, or a somewhat related question.
Yeah.
I've commented to multiple people this week, as I've been talking to them, that it really is out of the ordinary, the level of camaraderie and connection in the systems management community.
Yeah.
You know, I have not seen it in any other computer community, and really in very few communities, period. Just the level of, there's not a lot of, I'm too good to answer that question, or I'm a presenter here, so I shouldn't be talking to the minions. You know, it's all just like, yeah, I'll you know, go out to lunch with you and talk and do whatever and entertain your question. It really is a stupid question, but I'm not going to call it that to your face.
Yeah.
So,
newbie question. Or
So I guess my question is, you having been around it really since probably the very beginning of it.
Yeah.
What do you think were some of the what has turned it into this really kind of a close knit, almost a family in the systems management arena?
It really is. I think, I don't know for sure. I can only give you my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people that are involved, but it's the way they present themselves. The core group of people got together on Swink.com. I think it was those personalities that really started this community and continue to foster it. Because we have so many people that have, once they've been evangelized with systems management products, from the Microsoft perspective, they're addicted to it. They understand it. They get it.
It
becomes a life decision for them.
It makes your job easier.
Yeah. When they leave a job, their current job, and go to another, they take that stuff with them. They go to this company and say, you're doing this all wrong. Let's put this product in. It's just, but at the same time, personally, I like to think that, and I've mentioned this to other folks before, my feelings and my heart, and I think a lot of the other folks that are part of this community, we actually try to run it based on Christian principles. And when you do something like that, I think other forces kind of take over, from a Christian perspective. Because it's that same attitude that when you have, you use those Christian principles in life, everything seems to go so much better. And being able to relate that to other people and instill that same sense of value, I think people really do get it. Whether they would
ascribe to the Christian belief or not,
right?
It is one of those. I think of C.S. Lewis had a quote one time where I forget if it's in one of his books or not, but he says, even if someone were to convince me that the Christian faith is a farce, I would still choose to act like his concept of a Christian, because it was. He says, I just don't see a happier way of going through life. So,
I think people,
there's some humility, there's a hunger in a lot of people that I've seen.
I think there's a hunger, even though people don't realize it, there's a hunger for that type of atmosphere. I think there's a hunger for that type of mentality and an actual hunger for those type of principles. And I think everybody wants that. You know, based on people's life and their experiences, I think sometimes they just pass it off as, it's just something else.
Right.
You know? But I think people really do, that need and that hunger is deep inside everyone. And when they find something like that, like a community like this, they find that, I mean, it really attracts people. And that's why this community grows so large.
And definitely has grown large.
Yeah.
It really, and it's, it really does. It's a,
and I'll be honest. I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
I am, you know, I've not been a Christian all my life. I mentioned earlier I went to a Christian high school. I was raised in a Christian family. Went to church all my life. I was in church every time the door was open. But I went for my parents. But at the same time, that that message was, you know, written on my heart. That message was instilled in me. So that even though maybe...
Whether you had, had owned it for yourself or not at that point, you had had it, you know, you had heard it a lot.
Right.
You know, but you hadn't really made it your own yet.
Right, right. You know, whether I assigned it to myself or assigned it to what it really was, I still had those type of values. You know, I still wanted those values. I mean, there were periods in my life where I chose to go exactly the opposite direction. I knew that I was going the opposite direction, but I chose it on purpose just simply because of circumstances in life, like my parents getting divorced and stuff like that. You know, how children sometimes put that on themselves.
Right.
You know, the guilt and the pain. So, you know, in my life, I definitely chose to go the opposite way. But, you know, thank God for my parents who kept me in church, you know, that and in a Christian school, you know, brought me back. But that type of values have always been there, and even throughout my life, you know, I can always go back. Even the times when I rejected it completely, I can definitely see God's hand of protection on me throughout my entire life. Even the stupid mistakes I've made in my life, He protected me from, you know, them being ultimately volatile. So,
okay, so. You and I have talked about this a little bit over the last year and a half or so, but so you had a point where you were going to church because of your parents,
right?
And then you had some times of intentionally choosing to go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
What was kind of the catalyst to bring you to the point that you are now?
Situations in life, job loss, addictions. And almost losing my life. We came very close in our married existence of, you know, not being together, and that was horrible. But at the same time, if I had not gone,
how many years in were you, by the way?
In married?
Yeah. At that point.
Wow, it was only probably 4 years ago.
Okay.
So we've been married 18 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Math. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had gone that far in my life, and sometimes believing that, you know, seeing God's hand in my life, believing that I was still, you know, protected.
Right.
But it took those circumstances to wake me up, and I thank God every day that He did. You know, just wake me from a stupor, basically. You know.
Okay, that's good. And you've done some stuff with China. Tell me about that.
You know, it's interesting because when you look back in life and you see how things have happened, like I mentioned, you know, God's really not left me the whole time, which I'm thankful for. You see how God prepares you for certain things. And then God had to completely break me. After that, I gave myself completely to God. But through my entire life, I've always had this always been interested in China and, you know, like goofy stuff. And as kids, I'm sure we are, Bruce Lee and, you know, all that. You know, that was cool. But I've just always been
interested. Bruce Lee's a fascinating story. But
yeah. So. I've just always been interested. Been interested in the language, been interested in the country, never gone. It's always like been one of those things, you know, I really. But then once I completely gave myself over to God, and you completely open yourself up, all those experiences, all those things you've been through in your life kind of culminate into this one little, you know, period of time. And I realized that's what I want to do. I want to do what I can for God, for, you know, the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. You know, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I wanted to do
28:18-20.
Yeah, I wanted to do that. And China was the first thing. And I had this, I don't know, you know, if you've ever been called to a foreign country for missions, you actually kind of have this visualization in your head, you know, about, yeah, that's where I want to go and that's what I want to do. And it's just, it's amazing how everything just kind of worked out to come to a point where I'm going my first time, you know.
Your first time was just last year?
Last year, yeah. Last March. I went for like 3 weeks, and it was awesome. We visited some villages where you can't even, they don't even speak Chinese. And at that point, I was just barely getting into the Chinese language.
What do they speak?
Lisu.
Okay, some kind of like basically tribal language.
It is kind of tribal. They live about 15,000 feet above sea level in the base of the Himalayan mountains. In fact, where the villages that you're at, you can look up and there's a glacier between. And it's a live glacier. And there's a river that flows down between these mountains, and it's so. I mean, it's like freezing water.
Yep.
We'd stick our feet in it, and you'd start screaming.
Yeah, it's like 34 degrees.
So it's all coming off that glacier. Yeah, it's horribly cold. But we do it on purpose, just to. You know,
of course you do.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where we go primarily, and I can't really mention towns and stuff like that.
Right.
But we do have base of operations that's in Yunnan Province. There's a couple. There's a children's home that we go to.
Okay.
China's interesting. They're government-run children's homes, but they're not run from a Christian standpoint, of course.
Right.
And
Chinese government not being so from a Christian standpoint? Can't imagine that.
Well, and that's another interesting thing I'll tell you about. But yeah, we've had some real incidents there. And this last time that we went to, it was interesting. But but it's a privately Christian-run children's home. So they need donations and everything because the government won't support them. But the government-run organizations, they really don't treat the children that well. So the private organizations actually need money and stuff and need help to support those kids. And from a Christian standpoint, they teach them, you know, the Bible and the Word of God and stuff like that. And these are basically children that are homeless because their parents have kicked them out because maybe they, you know, Chinese are only allowed to have one child.
There's
a limitation on that. They might have a second child. The government will actually charge them if they have a second child, you know, with a fee. So they'll dump the kid on the street. Or Chinese are, they live with perfection. They want perfection and in their children. The children have, say, a club foot or a cleft palate.
They're dumped.
They'll abandon that kid. So, you know, there's a lot of people in the United States now that adopt children from China, which is awesome.
Yep.
And they'll pay for their surgeries, whatever.
I think Stephen Chris Chapman has done that a couple of times.
Tim Mittner, him and his wife are adopted from China.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I have a friend that used to work for, that still works for Deloitte & Touche. His wife is in Zhengzhou right now, picking up their baby. She's been there like a couple weeks. It's like a 3-week process.
Right.
It's like 2 years to get all the paperwork in. The money, I think it's really expensive to adopt.
I got a buddy that he and his wife made a decision when they got married that before they would attempt to have a child of their own, they wanted to adopt first.
Yeah.
And so they adopted from, Jason, forgive me, somewhere in like the former Soviet Union, might have been Russia,
Ukraine.
It was somewhere in that region. Was my understanding.
Yeah,
at least last I heard. So,
We help out the orphanage there and stuff. But we kind of travel all around China when we go. So you kind of get a taste of the different cultures.
Right,
where our base of operations is to Beijing, which is completely westernized and.
Yeah,
Western culture, and but it's an interesting when I talk about Western culture in China and speaking about the Christian aspect. There's a significant opportunity in China right now, and another reason why I'm so thankful that it took this long for for me to get to this point. Is an excellent opportunity, because the Chinese right now, they're fighting for freedom. And they're fighting for the freedom that they believe comes with Western culture. And as part of Western culture, Christianity is part of that. And they believe that that's just part of Western culture. And for them to have that type of opportunity, they're completely open to Christianity and the Word of God.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it is that they very much did not have the freedoms that, you know, that we here in the States actually, you know, really kind of don't realize what we have.
Well, and it's some, and being, you know, interested in China, knowing their culture and stuff like that, there are actually some aspects of that that I do agree with, because when you look at American culture now, any society after a period of time degrades. So United States culture, Western culture right now is slowly declining. Some of the freedoms that we have right now some of the freedoms that we have, I don't think we actually should have, because they're not based on proper principles. It's just we've come to the point in our culture where everything's okay.
Right.
Somebody speaks loud enough, okay, you're fine, go ahead and do that. You know, everything just becomes okay.
Yeah.
We don't have a moral, nobody seems to have a moral compass anymore where they can stop themselves from doing, you know, something that would definitely hurt them later on and hurt our society. The Chinese kind of control that a little bit, and there's a portion of that that, you know, I kind of agree with. Not the communist stuff.
I think both cultures have gone to far extremes. You know, definitely.
Yeah.
One on the restrictive side, one on the permissive side, and it's just there's definitely.
Well, there's a little difference, because we have the freedom of religion here. We have the opportunity to continue to use that moral compass. Where in China, if you get outside their moral compass, you know, they'll punish you.
Yes, they'll stomp you.
yeah,
stomp you, cane you, throw you in prison for 5 years for no reason at all.
So theirs is from fear. Ours is from lack of fear.
Right.
Lack of godly fear.
Now, I know from, you know, one of the first times you commented on my blog was on a post that I had about guitar. So you, and, you know, through that I found out that you actually helped lead worship at your church.
Yeah, I play guitar. Play electric guitar there. But I play guitar for, somebody asked me that the other day. It's over 20 years. So, you know, I've played for a long time. But I started with piano lessons when I was young and took it for 4 or 5 years and always kind of musically inclined. So I play a multitude of instruments. Guitar is just the one right now that God's given me the opportunity.
It, so.
Well, God's given me the opportunity to use, you know. So.
Yep. Okay. Couple of rapid fire questions. Favorite books over the years?
I haven't read in a long time, but when I have, I really like science fiction.
Okay.
I guess it's still that whole technology thing, the stuff that I like to read about things that maybe you aren't quite here yet, but, you know, that's neat. But it also depends on the author. It has to be a good story. It has to be good characters.
Right.
Yeah.
Favorite movies? I did not prepare him for any of these questions.
Yeah, I was really, I tell you what, I was really hankering the other day for that old movie, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. The original one, not the one they redid. I love that movie. I really like old movies, even before my time, because I think, you know, you can sit down with your kids and watch it and not have to worry.
Right.
Movies these days, you have to be really careful. The wife and I screen them. Sometimes we also have that Clear Play.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah. It's a DVD player that you download filters off the internet and plug it in, and it loads it in whatever DVD you're playing. You pop it in, it
automatically skips over the parts that you would choose to skip over.
My son, my
oldest
son.
Or bleeps out and all that kind of stuff.
Or it'll skip entire scenes if it's violence.
Right.
My son was joking one day, my 18-year-old, and he's like, yeah, let's watch. I forget what we were going to watch. Something like Rambo. He said, yeah,
yeah.
Opening credits, ending credits.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah. Yep. So, but it does, you know, you kind of have to monitor. Some of those storylines are good, but I don't know. Message isn't always good, though.
Yeah. Music.
I really, CD I listened to a lot recently is Josh Wilson.
Okay.
It's a Christian artist. He just released a new album, which is awesome. Listen to Chris Tomlin a lot. Lincoln Brewster. Chris Tomlin, actually, the past two CDs, do you call them records still? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The past two CDs.
Albums.
Yeah, albums. That's what albums he's come out with. There's a couple songs on each one that I've used for my missions presentations after missions trips.
Uh-huh.
It's just so mission-minded, and I just love that. But the funniest thing...
Which, by the way, Tomlin's drummer is freaking intense in concert.
I've never seen
him. He was... I spent 15 years on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, and we had a conference every other year that all of our U.S. staff had to come to, and there's a couple of years that Tomlin came and really did just a private concert for our 5,000 staff.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting like next to the side of the stage, and I'm just watching this drummer, and homeboy is just, he's freaking intense. You know, it was, I mean, he was just, he's an intense drummer. That was the one thing. Yeah, you know, Tomlin was good. Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, it was a good event. But you know, I'm fascinated by this drummer. He was just pounding the crap out of the thing. So I mean, it was hysterical. But it was also loud enough that my wife could not stay in the room.
So I actually borrowed the
folks right behind us actually had an extra set of earplugs that I borrowed some that ran out and got her and had her come back in. So, but
I
she
really
had set of earplugs in the whole time.
I used to like concerts, but I getting older, I just like to be able to talk to people, stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of the funniest things, though, is
are you guys familiar? Can you kind of move it to another spot? We have a security meeting here. Everybody's coming up. It's
going
to get a little loud.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So,
move on along.
Yeah. I have a Zoom pass.
Okay.
So, you know, you get every song that you ever want.
Mm-hmm.
I actually subscribe to the Asia section, you know, China.
Yep.
And I'm always looking. I download constantly Chinese language pop songs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I listen to them constantly because it actually, you know, through, you know, how you remember lyrics and stuff like that, here comes Martin. It actually helps me learn Chinese a lot more.
So I do the same thing when I was in Argentina doing stuff in Spanish.
Yeah.
So, what was I going to ask? We were on a really good roll until the guy asked us to move. So.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right.
Okay, kind of a wrap up.
All right.
If there was anything that you could tell the people listening to this little interview,
yeah.
If there's anything that you, I mean, just, you know, anything you would like to say, you know, just wide open, knock yourself out question. Anything you would like to say at all. Which, by the way, earlier today when I interviewed Sherry, I forgot to ask her that question. That would have been very interesting.
She was lucky.
I actually might have to, you know, ask her that question later tonight and, you know, splice it in.
Well, what would I like to say? First of all, you know, I think there are important things in life. We go through life, and I guess I'm going to sound like an old man here, but you go through life and you try to, you know, get ahead. You try to get a good salary. You try to buy pretty things. And you try to improve yourself in those areas, I guess. But what it boils down to in life is there are some things that are more important than others, at least to me. And I think maybe to everyone else, you know, they have their
different things that they will come to realize are most important. But I think the most important for me, and I've learned, is just relying on God for everything. And if you do that first, everything else just kind of falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, your marriage, whether it's your children, whether it's your job, whether it's the happiness mm-hmm. that you have in those things, those things will just continue, you know, to fall into place as long mm-hmm. as you put God first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll wrap up. I think our last night MMS party is about to start here, and we'll do it. Rod, thank you very much for taking the time out of kind of a crazy week. MMS is always a little bit nuts. Thank you very much for letting me sit down with you.
No problem, Jarvis. Okay. I appreciate it, and you know, thank you again. And I appreciate you doing this. This is an awesome thing I think you're doing, and you know, I just wish you the best of luck with your family and your job.
Appreciate that.
Definitely be praying for you all the time.
I appreciate that, bud.
All right.
Thank you for listening in. This concludes the Verbal Processor interview with Rod Trent. Be sure to check back in soon for the next interview in the series, which will be with Tim Mittner from the Microsoft Deployment Product Team.